Everybody, welcome back to the Anti-Media Radio. You're here live with LaVon. I'm also going to be joined by two guests this evening. The first will be Sir Justin King of the Fifth Column News. He's got an awesome major announcement for the beginning of the year for you guys to get excited about. And also, I'm live here with Dr. Nick, who is a sexologist and cannabis enthusiast activist. And we're going to be discussing how you can use cannabis to enhance not only your health and wellness, but your sex life and your connectivity to your partner. Thank you for being here, Dr. Nick.
Thanks for having me on the show.
Yeah, we're really excited to talk to you. You've got some great knowledge and stories to share with our audience. We might have to have you on several times just because... He's got that many awesome stories. So it's really an honor to be here with you.
Thanks.
I'm really excited. We were brought together by Synchronicity. You guys know that's one of my favorite things. So happy new year. Here's to last year I proclaimed year of truth and year of think globally, act locally. This year my mantra is acting towards the higher self and living in that. So I hope everybody's their most powerful them, their most powerful aspect of self. And I believe that happens when you have a connection between mind, body, soul. And that's a lot of what I speak on in this program. And this year will be no different. So cheers to that. Happy New Year, everybody. And we look forward to hearing from Justin King. But before he calls in, Dr. Nick, do you want to tell our audience a little bit about here's the question. What got you here? Why cannabis and why sex?
I think what you just said about mind, body, and soul. Tonight we're going to talk a lot about body. And to me, cannabis has been a really important part of my life for 40 years now. I'm in my 60s, and it keeps me connected with my body, which is a very important thing to keep myself centered, and especially my sexuality, which is something that... Nowadays, most people get disconnected from that, and in this hectic life, it's hard to find the time for yourself, and then if you're in a relationship, to easily connect with your partner.
Mm. Yes, well said. And astonishingly, you shared with me that a lot of people in my generation now are having a lot less sex than people who are comparable in age in your generation. And why do you think that is?
They're stressed out. They don't have the time anymore. Life has gotten very hectic. I think it's harder to connect. Sex is all around us. We talk a lot about sex, but there's so many factors, just our lifestyles.
And I agree totally, especially in this day and age with technology. We're all so captivated by it because we have a hunger for knowledge and we get that fulfillment. Mm-hmm. Via it. And everything is highly sexualized. We're exposed to that. And I think that maybe subconsciously being exposed to a mass amount of sexualized images and topics consistently may satisfy that need to connect because we have a kind of a scapegoat in a way.
Yes, we do. We do. We turn to social media. We turn to our computers. We're much more isolated today, and it gives us a false sense of connection. And, you know, with pornography very easily accessible, we can take care of ourselves. It to a degree, it satisfies the need, but it doesn't satisfy the connection. We're missing the connection.
It's almost like a Band-Aid.
Yeah.
It's like when you put a Band-Aid on a wound and you help it along. It works, but...
Yes, it does that. And then, like I said, my generation, I'm a hippie from the 60s. We were at the beginning of the feminist movement. Our template for relationship and sexuality was far from perfect, but it was based on a lot of years. We kind of knew our roles and we did that. Well, in reinventing it, I think we have come a long ways. We've made a lot of improvement, but the one area that's still very confusing is how do we connect sexually? How does a man and a woman figure out the dynamics and the game and everything with that?
Well, sadly, I think that especially here in America, and a lot of it has to do with pornography as well as cultural standards. We don't have any idea how to make love. No. There's a lot of F-U-C-K-I-N-G. Ha 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 ha. No. there's a lot of that, but there's not soul penetrating, earth shattering, reaching a higher plane together, love making sessions. It's, hey, we have an orgasm to have. Let's get it done. Okay.
Yeah.
It's a grind. It's part of the routine. I have a lot of friends who schedule their sex. It's like in their planner. Mm-hmm. You know, Wednesdays and Sundays at 8 p.m. Yes. We're going to do it.
Yes. At least they're scheduling it. A lot of people don't schedule it, but they don't schedule enough
time. I certainly don't want to, like, plan out my orgasms for the month in my Google Calendar. Like,
That would not work for me either.
But that's the thing. It's like everybody's so caught up in the rat race because that's – ooh, I think – what's that mean? Are we getting a call? We're so caught up in the rat race that we don't have any other choice but to live – to have that type of sexuality.
Yeah, and we haven't prioritized – you know, that word doesn't flow out of my mouth.
Prioritize
it enough.
I hear that. Give me just a second here. And it's really sad, though, because that is part of the mind-body-soul connection is it's you're wired to have that type of experience for lots of reasons. It helps with our stress. It helps with your overall wellness. And I feel like it's a defrag in a way. It's
most definitely.
It's really essential to overall health.
Most definitely. And even for myself, I mean, once, you know, I got married, had a child, bought a house, created a thriving business, you get distracted. It's hard to find that time to be intimate. You've got to consciously think about it. And to me, that's where cannabis has played a really important role in my life, as I've always used it mainly for intimacy, mainly, you know, a lot of people that I've interviewed will use it to concentrate at work. Mm-hmm. They'll use it for when they go out for a good run. Mm-hmm. They use it for health, medicinal reasons. To me, I always used it for the high, to be quite honest. And what the high did was it reconnected me with my body, first of all. It gave me the ability to focus.
On the partner.
On my partner. Mm-hmm. And to the two of us to calm down. It didn't matter if there was a pile of laundry. It didn't matter all the things. Oh. We knew that we needed to reconnect. And the hyper-focus element of cannabis, that thing where you're right in the here and now, it's almost like a Zen thing that allowed us to connect. And sex doesn't have to be intercourse. It doesn't have to be any sex's intimacy to mm-hmm. me. And it's taking the time to actually hold each other and to have that conversation and to talk. And just to set that aside. And so to me, you know, a cannabis is perfect. You know, a nice buzz is probably an hour and a half, 2 hours long.
It's a nice amount of time.
It's a nice amount of time. And, you know, I always did it on a Friday or Saturday. I looked forward to that. I knew that that's when I was going to be totally with one with my partner. And we could sit and do that and rejuvenate.
It's really interesting that you use it as a tool. In a microdose, because a lot of people smoke an entire joint, or they smoke four or five bowls back to back, and they get what you call stoned.
Yes.
And we all know there's a common misconception of cannabis users that they're all just lazy stoners. That's not the case. Statistics show, even especially now that it's legalized in most places, that most people are using it.
Definitely. And what's been interesting is in my research, looking at it in the realm of sexual medicine, when you go back thousands of years and there's text written about cannabis and it says it was used to increase libido and desirability, and it was also used to suppress sexuality. So then I look at that and go, what is going on here? How can the same flower do that? Well, you start researching it, you'll find out that there's a big difference between a high and being stoned. The high is when you smoke just a small amount of it, and that's when that rush comes over you. You can, it got called a high because it was like higher education or the higher self. Mm. It's when you got to know who you were. You know, like Bob Marley said that, you know, cannabis is the gateway drug to thyself.
It's true.
That takes place during the high phase. If you smoke past that and you go into stoned, that's when you kind of shut down and you, it feels good, trust me. And if you're really stressed out, I can understand why people do that. And the majority of the people smoke cannabis to get stoned, the recreational users. All I'm saying is that there, it is a powerful tool when used properly. So if you back off, we call it microdosing, where you just take one or two hits and stay with that. You're going to find you're going to be able to use that, and especially in the bedroom. One of the things that a lot of people will question is they'll say, well, the studies show that men who smoke cannabis have a hard time with erections, and it kind of is a libido killer. It is true. If you smoke a lot of pot, your testosterone counts will go up like six times the amount that it normally is. So at the beginning of your high, you'll get nice and horny. You'll get that feeling like, oh my God, I'm feeling feisty. But then it plummets. And when it plummets, after about 20 minutes, it goes below your normal high. Mm. Where the research that came out recently showed that if you smoke a small amount of it, you microdose it, it goes up six times the normal level, and it slowly comes down over the two-hour period before it comes back to its normal level. Well, you can see the difference that would make in the bedroom.
That's kind of what we call ideal.
It is ideal.
And a lot of men have anxiety in regards to performance because of these expectations of just making their partner have an orgasm. And that alone is a tragedy. And you make a great point when you say intimacy and sex is not just penetration. There are so many things you can enjoy. I love when you talk about the comparison between tasting your food and like tasting your partner. That's so sexy. Tell us about that.
Well, and think about now, when, you know, for all of you who've smoked, you know that when you smoke, and you've heard all the analogies out there that, oh my God, one of the best things to do is listen to good music. I mean, music is accentuated. What's happening is that there's a lot of things happening, but on the physical aspect, what's happening is a lot of you will notice that you have a more rapid heart rate after you smoke cannabis. Why that is because it's relaxing your rib cage. And most of us, if you do meditation, they'll tell you we don't breathe deep enough. We're not getting enough breath in us. What cannabis does is it relaxes. So it opens up your lungs. You fill with more oxygen. And then the rapid heart rate is to push that oxygen all through your body. Now think about that. When you've got oxygen and you're oxygenating yourself more so than usual, it accentuates your taste buds, your sound. It puts blood flow in the places where you want blood flow. Mm. And so it works really well on the physical level. On the mental level, what it's doing in your brain is that we live in an extremely left brain society, especially in America. We are rewarded for thinking, and we think and think and think. And over the years, we start losing touch with the right side of our brain, where our soul, in a sense, lies, the side of us that knows, it has a knowing. Empathy is over there. Yeah. Caring, knowing what is right and wrong is over there. It's a different part. What cannabis does is it quiets the left side of the brain and allows the right side and to open up. And that's why for a lot of people, the first time they smoke, they feel a little uncomfortable because they feel like they're losing control.
They get paranoid a lot.
You get paranoid. What that's doing is that whatever you're thinking about gets accentuates because we have what's called hyperfocusing. So if you are worried about smoking pot or you have guilt about smoking pot, your brain is going to go into that direction. And so as far as using it for sex, what we do, and there's a guide on my website, a simple guide, we talk about set and setting. Timothy Leary talked a lot about that when you use a drug, especially cannabis, is that you want to control that high. You want to make that evening go right. So think about it. If you and your lover were going to put 2 hours aside and smoke, pay attention to your lighting, light candles. It calms you, just as when you go to a sunset. You know, people go down to the beach and watch the sunset for a reason. Mm-hmm. It's because of the calming effect. So lighting is very important. Music is very important. Your taste buds are going to be activated. You're going to get the munchies. Now, the strain determines how bad the munchies are. So you can find strains that don't give you so many munchies. You want a little bit of munchies because you're going to be munching on your partner.
Nah. And let's see here. You make a good point that, you know, you can utilize the effects in the bedroom. And if you dose properly, which most people don't. You can have a desired effect. And a lot of people don't even know what that means. And the guide he was speaking on is on his website, passionatehigh.com. There's a lover's guide. It's the second link, so you guys can check that out. If you want to speak a little bit, Dr. Nick, about how people use cannabis historically, you mentioned a little bit that, you know, it's been used a long time. Like, do you know specifically how and how do you usually recommend that people do it for, like, do you have to smoke it?
No, there's many different ways to do it. I mean, the shamans, you can start reading on the history of cannabis, and it's being, when they dig up archaeological sites, they find cannabis in the medicine man's bag. It was part of what was in there, and it was used for a lot of different reasons. My preference is to smoke it. Smoking it, you get just about everything from it. We're learning a lot as we go. I mean, it's still technically in prohibition.
It is.
So the science is just starting to come out, and I'm very excited because the more that comes out, the more we know about it and how to use it. What would I recommend? I think most people look for a quick fix for something. We want to pop a pill. We want things to go away quickly. Cannabis doesn't work that way. Cannabis, you're going to have a personal relationship with cannabis. It's kind of symbiotic in a sense that every individual is different. Just like we all have different diets. We all process a tomato differently. Some people works better than others. Cannabis is like that way. And you are going to have to do some exploring.
Mm-hmm.
And it's wonderful in the states where it's legalized because you can go into a dispensary and you can explore and try different strains. And different strains work better for different people. If you're extremely high strung compared to a person that's very mellow, you're going to pick a different strain accordingly.
And I'm glad that you mentioned that because a lot of what you call hippies, cannabis was different back then. We didn't have precise strain identification. It was more standard bud and a more standard type of high. Would you agree?
Yes, it was. But there was a downside to that because a lot of people would try it and didn't like it. And they were trying a bud. There was no consistency. So people would get frustrated. It would work one time. It wouldn't work another time. Somebody would, your buyer or whoever, your friend gave you some bud and you smoke it and the two of you had the best sex of your life and you'd go, oh my God, what was that? Was that just the moon and the stars lined up or did the cannabis play a role in that?
Right.
And it was all the factors. And then you would try to find that where today you can find it more. The cannabis is stronger, not that much stronger. A lot of the hype is that it's so much stronger. And what they're doing is they're comparing dabs and they're comparing the tinctures. They're not comparing the actual bud.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it's a little bit stronger. But once again, like I said, you've got to find your microdosing for that.
And I think that's really important. I'm glad you mentioned that because there, nowadays we have what we call sativas and what we call indicas, and generally, and like you said, it's individualized. Sativas are more what you call like a cerebral high, right? You get more thinking, more processing going on. I'm not sure if it's left or right brain, but it's just your mind's activated.
Yes.
And typically indicas are more felt in the body. It's like in you. Think indica in you. So you just have to, like Dr. Nick says, figure out what works for you.
And most people play, especially in the bedroom, they'll play with a hybrid, and they'll find a hybrid that is sativa dominant.
Okay.
Because you want some indica in it, because you do want to relax the body.
Mm-hmm.
One of the biggest things we have now is, like I said, we have men having erection problems and women having painful intercourse.
Right.
Well, you know, I don't know if most men realize this, but in order to have an erection, you have to relax.
Mm-hmm.
That erection comes from relaxing so that the blood can flow in. And so a little bit of an indica, if you're wound tight and you're holding a lot of drama or a lot of things in, the indica is what's going to relax your body. And it's going to let you oxygenate, and the blood is going to flow where it needs to. Same thing with the women with a lot of the pain. You want to relax the pelvic floor, so we bring, you know, you want that one. The THC levels don't have to be very high. I recommend keeping it between a 14 and a 17 or 18%. Most of the top shelves are in the 20 now.
Well, they are. They're very potent.
They're very potent. You know, and like I said, I think the hardest thing for a lot of people is in the bedroom, they're going to have to pull back on what they're smoking, the amount.
Well, just as a, just in regards to that creative process, as a creative person and a cannabis enthusiast / medicator, I completely agree with being high versus being stoned. And there is that that Goldilocks zone, that ideal place of maximized creativity and focus and attention. You actually taught me the other day, Dr. Nick, that the active ingredients in cannabis result in higher brain activity. Your brain is able to process information much faster.
Yeah, and differently. And I think in the coaching, the reason I suggest for a lot of couples is because, especially if you've been in a relationship a long time and you are having trouble with desire, you can use what's being the activity in the brain on your high to help change your thinking with your partner. It's opening up new things. Like I said, it's activating the other side of your brain. They're doing studies now on what's happening in there. One of the interesting things is they've got a list of a number. One of them is it activates empathy in you. And if you, I mean, you can go to a dorm party on a college campus and you can have one dorm that's filled with everyone drinking alcohol, and it gets pretty rowdy and out of control, and there's generally some fistfights going on. You go where you've got all the kids smoking pot, it's a much more mellower situation, and the people are connecting for a reason. They're talking. It's because if you pay attention and you microdose in a small amount, you'll notice you have empathy for your partner, more caring for your partner. Well, stop and think about that in the bedroom. Part of what to do about the problem with intimacy and connection is we can't feel the other person because we have so many blocks going on. So to me, it does that. Another thing, it activates his creativity. And generally, stagnant relationships makes a little bit of creativity. One of the things I suggest couples to do is to change their perception of intimacy. Most people, it turns into the 11-minute act, which I guess is the average amount of time that people are actually naked, where it's just a short period of time. They have intercourse, they try to get their orgasm. For most women, 11 minutes is way too short. That's the average guy's time frame. It changes it up. Be playful. There's a playfulness. We all get the giggles when we smoke pot. It's because we're being more creative and more childlike. Well, bringing that into the bedroom is so much fun. You know, bringing props in, dressing up, being characters, role-playing, dancing. Do whatever comes up. You're spending time with your partner.
Mm-hmm. It's awesome. It's inspiring. And I like how you mentioned that the men give more attention to their ladies typically, and vice versa, because I want to bring back the topic of people don't know how to make love with each other, because most people don't have an internal mind-body connection, which I kind of think is essential. Like, one thing that I understand as an individual is if you don't explore your body personally, which most people have not because they felt guilty via religion or culture.
Exactly.
Let's be real. Most people are walking around not even knowing what a labia is. They a woman calls her labia her vagina. No, your vagina is internal. That's the cavity. You know, people don't know the basic anatomy.
They don't know
just,
themselves.
There's so many misconceptions about sex. Can you get pregnant on your period? Most people think foreskin is gross. Well, that has an essential function. You know, we're cutting and we're mutilating our men at birth.
That needs to stop.
I think okay, here's a topic that's been really prevalent in some groups that I'm a part of, reporting trauma because they can't connect sexually to their partner, whether female or male, because they feel like a part of their sexuality was taken from them. And a lot of men say that it's uncomfortable, just like you were talking about the women. I know women who literally cannot be penetrated because they're so anxious and they've been with their partner 8 or 9 years, but they literally cannot, get any penetration.
Exactly.
Or the same thing with the man who's been circumcised. He's like, I can't enjoy it because something's missing.
Yes.
And
sex is where we put all of our pain, suffering, our drama. Sex is filled with stories. And it gets very complicated to get past that. Betty Dodson, a very famous sexologist, a wonderful woman, has a book out called Sex for One. And what she teaches is that before you can make love with another person, you have to learn how to make love to yourself.
I believe that.
And you have to be good at it,
really
good at it, and understand all the little nuances and what it takes before you share with somebody else. And I believe that. And to me, what cannabis does, and when I do my coaching, I'm not a therapist, I'm a sex coach. Most of the time when people come in, they have so much armor around their sexuality that we can talk and talk and talk, and it's very hard to get past it. That's what I love about cannabis. I can send somebody home. Cannabis is going to quiet the thoughts, and you, in a sense, can reprogram yourself. Mm-hmm. I'll tell people to look at pictures, stand in front of the mirror when you're naked. Look at pictures of when you were younger, or like if it's a couple, I'll tell a couple to bring out the pictures of when they first met and when the passion was strong, and reprogram. Talk about those things when you have your little high going on. Talk about what it was like to meet the first time, what it was like to make love the first time. And when you start using cannabis like this and you start exploring the body, you get your voice and you get your body's voice more than your mind's voice.
Mm-hmm.
Your body knows what it wants.
It does.
Your body knows what it wants to eat. It knows what herbs to do. The body knows when it's tired. The body also knows how to make love to another person. We just have to listen to it.
We forgot.
We've got to quiet our mind.
We forgot.
We know that. And to me, that's why. Most of the time people say, well, do I have to use cannabis all the time? Am I going to get addicted to cannabis in the bedroom? Absolutely not, because you're reprogramming your thinking. Your mind is going to remember. I love cannabis. I call it a marker drug, in the fact that the next day you remember everything you did. It's not like alcohol where you're going to black out and you don't know what you did. When you smoke cannabis, you have a full memory the next day of what you did, and you remember the good time you had.
Mm-hmm.
And so to me, when a couple does this a number of times, their sexuality or an individual isn't finding time, you reprogram yourself. That's what you're doing.
It makes sense. It's like when you're training any muscle in the body, it has memory.
Mm-hmm.
Every part of your body has memory. That's why it's just one aspect in how we're so incredible. But just imagine if you had a bunch of people walking around empowered in themselves, and being able to share that legitimate, real connection with other beings. What would happen?
Sexuality, if you think about it, you can ask yourself, why do most religions suppress sexuality? Sexuality is very powerful. A person who's connected and they're moving their sexual energy and they're connecting with other people, they're unstoppable. They're a powerful person. A lot of people abuse sex because they have guilt and shame, mm-hmm. and they don't know what they're doing with it. But when properly educated and when used the way it was meant to be used, in a sense, the connection and the power that lies in it. I did a project a couple of years back called The Petals Project, where I photograph female genitalia. It's an unusual book. I think the images are beautiful. I did it not from a place of sexuality, actually. I did it from a place of healing. I knew a woman who had some sexual issues and didn't like her genitalia. As a
so many women do not like their genitalia.
Yes, and she was going to have them removed at age 15, and years later she didn't want anybody to go down. She was blocked sexually. You could see that. And we ended up becoming lovers. And I realized that that was so detrimental to who she was. So as a photographer, I was going to show her the beauty there. And it took me a long time to find an image and a way to photograph it so that she would look at that and go, oh my God, I see what you mean. Mm-hmm. Once I did, she showed it to a friend who was in a support group for women who had been molested or raped. They saw this image, they saw what it did to her, and this momentum started, and they asked me to photograph women as a healing process. I've done over 250.
Oh my gosh!
Not for money, for charge, but to help people, and I published two books. Interesting, obviously, in order to create a space safe enough, I am a man, and I am
okay, a sexual man. As a woman, how did you get... Okay, as a woman who's been traumatized in that way, how did you get these women to be empowered in being vulnerable that way?
It was very difficult. There were usually other women in the room.
Okay.
It took a lot of crying, lot of work.
Healing hurts, right?
Healing is hard, but they had decided, and they trusted me and knew, and they could tell that I really believe that if you can get past this, and you can love yourself totally, there's a healing process. And it did. It changed so many people's lives. I have thousands of emails from people that this project has changed their life. But what I want to talk about is that the one thing that I noticed that when these women came up, some of them came up and they did not have an issue. It wasn't 2 hours of tea and crying. It was, look at this. This is Betty. And they would spread their legs and they go, you've got to have a name. Her and I work in unison and we conquer the world. And I would look at these women and go, how did you get there? And tell me about the rest of your life. Mm-hmm. And that's what surprised me. To me, when a woman owns her genitalia, she owns her sexuality, she is in her power, everything around her changes. Her relationship with her husbands, her partners were good. Her children understood who she was. Money wasn't an issue. Her health was there. There was a vibrancy of having a healthy sexual life, which starts with yourself.
Yes.
And that's why I got into this field, because if there's anything I can do to guide people to information and help them reprogram their thinking and take back their sexuality so it's not a destructive part of themselves, it's an empowered part of themselves. That's it doesn't get better than that.
It is very empowering. And history shows, even our short history here in America, that every time we've had a sexual or any type of civil revolution, it's directly followed by a sexual revolution or vice versa.
Yes.
They go hand in hand.
Yes.
When people find they're empowered in one way or another, they go together. It's part of who we are as healthy, functioning people.
Yes.
History proves it.
I got to live through the 60s. So I was honored to be a part of that. And we are definitely due for another one. Renaissance.
Do you know about the Free the Nipple movement?
Oh, yes.
What are your thoughts on that?
How could I not enjoy that?
Isn't it?
It is great.
For me, if we can free the nipples, we can change the world. Because those nipples are not only beautiful, but they can unite us all, because we've all, when we emerge into this world, the first thing we want is a nipple in our mouth. I don't care who you are, where you're born, or what you believe. You want a nipple in your mouth. That's right. You heard me say it. That's why we got to free the nipples, because whether or not you got to be breastfed, you still had that urge, and that truly unites us all. And how beautiful would it be to see women not ashamed of their bodies or their power to create, not to create, but to harness life and perpetuate life. And she's only going to further create more people who feel that notion. And
definitely.
It's like a wave of unstoppable energy.
Yeah.
And it is pending, I think.
We're going back where people can now reclaim their sexual identity. And I think I'm a male. I do men's groups. I talk to a lot of men. Men have been extremely wounded also, and they need to figure out how to reclaim their sexuality. It's very confusing to be a young man in this country today.
Because you're not supposed to be emotional, but I'm sorry, to be a sexual being, I think you need to be emotional and vulnerable.
You need to be emotional, and you need to be sexual. It's very difficult for men. We have a tremendous sex drive, and it has to be educated on how to approach women, how to use that difference so that we can have more connection and not a threatening, creepy, scary way.
Yeah, there's a term popular among women. It's called creeper. We can feel creepers from miles away. We know creepers, but I don't think men are intentionally creepy. They have a need, and they don't know how to go about it.
Yes.
Especially because women we're in such high guard.
Exactly, and it's difficult for men. They, like you said, I don't know why, but nature made us a sexual aggressor. They gave us the desire element that is extremely strong.
Women are the same, though. We have the same type of sexual drive. It's just that we're scrutinized so much because we're supposed to be sexy, but not sexual, right? We're scrutinized and we're hypersexual, even though that's what everyone secretly
wants.
I'm
hoping that changes real quickly.
Oh, my gosh. I met with a man named Liam Sheff. He studies the culture and history of sex, and he was telling me about a tribe high in the mountains of China.
Yeah.
I don't remember the name, but the women there, they own all the property, and when they want a lover, they simply put a light or candle outside their door. Mm-hmm. And whoever knocks, they choose to let them in. And the man leaves when he's done. If they have a baby, he helps her take care of the baby. And there's nothing weird about it. And nobody goes, oh, Jennifer over there slept with 5 men last week. Nobody does that because it's not even a problem.
It's not a problem.
And I think that's innate to us as beings. We are sexual. There is a desire to spread our seeds and mix our genes and create life. And you get stronger. You get stronger beings when there's a mix of cultures and attributes.
Oh. And I think, when you talk about a woman's sexuality, when a woman is in her sexual power, she's unstoppable and she has an extremely high libido. That gets confusing in relationships. And if you take the old template, that's why I think women were suppressed, almost for their own good in a sense, because when you're trying to figure out how to fit into society in the old template, that's the best they could come up with. I think people still are confused today.
Oh my gosh.
I think for a woman, it's
very
confused.
We're all confused. Yes. Let's face it. We are.
And I don't know what people are going to create, what it's going to look like. It is an interesting time. Just to value sexuality, though, and to work on it, it is so important. That the yin and the yang, the male and the female connect. I'm seeing way too much disconnect. A lot of angry, frustrated boys sitting at home at night, smoking way too much pot and watching way too much porn when they need to get out of the house and interact. And I see a lot of women not interacting, just hanging in groups of women and not bringing the boys or the men into the circle to have these conversations, to learn how to interact, to learn how to be around that energy and teach the boys what creepy is. Teach the boys what does it look like to be sexually out there, to know your intention, but in a way that's accepted. And for the women also to know how do we interact so that we interact. Right now, both are running to the sides of the field. Yeah, and kind of paralyzed, and it's not taking place, and there's too much frustration. Sexual health is so important, and getting together, and we need that. I mean, it's when you've got so many people on antidepressants, they just need to be hugged. They need to be held. They need
I agree.
To sit next to somebody.
I totally agree, and I'm very grateful to be speaking with you all this way, but my dream is that I won't have to have a radio show where I talk to millions of people a week. I want to be able to know everyone in my community and know that everyone in the next community over knows everyone and really have a network of people. Yeah. Like I always think about how the ants live. There are more ants than, you know, there's more bacteria than anything in the planet, but ants are only second in line. And why are there more ants than anybody else besides bacteria? Yeah. They work together.
Yeah.
I want to live like ants.
Yeah.
You know, they honor their woman, and they all are taken care of, and the men are honored, and they all have, you know, what they need, and the children are all loved and taken care of. And it's yes. a really a wonderful little community. And there's not many of them, but my golly, they yeah. get a lot done.
Yes. So, and cannabis has helps. I mean, you know, the focus groups, we do focus groups. We try to bring people who smoke pot out of the shadows of life. And I don't want people sitting at home smoking by themselves. All you're going to do is run the same story. All you're going to do is stay in that reality. Get out, form social groups, talk to your friends, go out and do stuff together. And then if you want to smoke a little, because it opens up your hearts. It starts really interesting conversations. I don't know about you, but not stoned, but in that high place, I love talking to people. And I love interacting with people. I learn so much about them. The focus groups we have here at the end, they're not focus groups. All we do is really get together. We smoke a tiny bit of pot. We pay attention to our highs. We talk about what it feels like to be high. And once we start that, everybody starts being real. Their guard goes down. Mm-hmm. Their vulnerability comes out. And what is love? Love is vulnerability. As a sexologist, I've been studying what love is for a long time. Love is when you open up and you share honestly with another person.
It's true.
And that's what's needed in intimacy. And it starts by talking honestly with people. And I think cannabis can do that.
It really can. And it has been very effective. Time and time again, on a personal level, I used to suffer tremendously from anxiety.
Yeah.
And now I talk to millions of people. You know, there's just one thing that I can do, and it really does calm the body on a tremendous level. And remember that story I told you about my lover and the first time he smoked cannabis and he had an instant erection, like instant erection. And we used it to reconnect in that time, and it really did help us because we were on the same plane. You know, we existed in the same place. And unknowingly, I was practicing, like, in a sense, tantric lovemaking, which is where you create a space and you set an intention, and you are so focused that you can do nothing but tell each other wonderful things about each other. Mm-hmm. And that opens up a whole new level of intimacy. And to tie that into the porn, prior to that, prior to us having that experience, he didn't know how to make love. You know, he had only been one of those guys who watched porn. And realistically, women hate porn. The only porn we enjoy is when it's two women, even if we're not lesbians, because we can tell that woman's enjoying that other woman. You know, women can't really fake it with each other.
You know what's interesting? I when I do the men's group, we talk a lot about porn, and a lot of the men, you know, they have a lot of guilt around the porn. But when I create a safe enough space, everyone will start pouring their hearts out. We talk about what we watch and why we watch it. And men watch the bad stuff because they're looking for the money shot. They're looking at, they're watching the intercourse is what they're watching. They're watching this take place because they are so starved for connection. And they know when they see this as visual, they feel it. And they remember what it felt like. They don't know the game prior. They don't realize they're not being educated on how to get to that place. And when you think about it, who educates them? There is no education for boys. Who educates a boy how to make love to a woman?
Even as a woman, there's no education.
No.
We're taught that everyone's going to try and get in there. You get to decide who. That's it.
Yes. And
if you let too many people in there, shame on you.
Yeah. It's scary, I like to think that a big part is the women need to educate the men. I think the women, they're empowered now. I think feminism has brought a lot of women a long ways. I think that they can protect themselves in the situation. Be smart. If you're going to have an intimate evening with a boy or a man, and you're going to do this, set it up where you're safe. I mean, do safe. Either have someone else in the house or somebody knows this is going on, so you're doing this. But then once you set this up and you have all your safety measures in, let your guard down and educate him. Slow him down. Mm-hmm. Show him what you want, what you need. Be in your power. I think most men would give
anything. They want that.
They want that so bad.
I've had so many of my guy friends say, gosh, I wish you would just tell me what to do. And I'm like, most women don't know how to say, do this.
Do this.
They don't know how to say it.
They don't. One of the first things I tell people to do is masturbate in front of your lover. Most people will look at me like, you have to be kidding me. Mm-hmm. There is no way in hell
I can do that.
I am going to do that. That is one of the best things. First of all, it's great foreplay. It's very safe. You're sitting across from one another. You can do this. It really changes the atmosphere and empowers.
What have couples reported, like in your experience, when they practice these things that you tell them? What happens? What kind of shift occurs?
They start talking.
When they bring cannabis in.
Yeah, they start talking.
It's always positive.
Yes, and I tell them the first couple times they're probably not going to have intercourse. It's not about intercourse. Actually, I'll tell somebody, especially if they're having problems and they're fighting and they're not having sex and they're saying, you know, the husband's going, I want more sex. And she's going, I don't want to do sex. And I'll say, pick your evening, bring cannabis in the bedroom, but take intercourse off the table. I want you first to reconnect. And I want you to start. You got to get this shit off the table.
Exactly.
Because trust me, there's shit on the table. Right. And that's why they're not doing it. Long lost dreams. He didn't do this. You know, this went wrong. Talk about those things. But like I said earlier, when you have a tiny bit of a high, you have more empathy for your partner. And you see things differently, and you can take what happened and do something with it. It's opening up a different part of your mind.
It literally is opening up a different part of your mind. And that's what this program's all about, too, is changing your perspective on things that you may not have known about. We've talked about a lot of different topics tonight, and I'm curious, why cannabis? What led you to choosing that? Like, have you tried other things prior to?
You
said you've been using it for 40 years.
I've been using it for 40 years, and I have always been an extremely sexual person, and I grew up during a time when we, on Friday and Saturday night, our friends would get together and we would have some very fun evenings. Mm-hmm. So I have a real positive connotation with cannabis. It's never taken anything away from my life. I only smoked on the weekends. Like I said, I used it in sexual situations. I was always there Monday morning to go back to work. I raised a wonderful child and had a wonderful life. And I felt that it gave me a lot of compassion and power at work. Just my weeks were better. My relationships with my family was wonderful. I was very blessed. When I got my doctorate in human sexuality and started doing coaching, I realized I was a very fortunate man and that I, like I said, had a good sex life and a good relationship with cannabis. And most people did not. And I tried all the normal tools that they teach us, a lot of talk therapy, telling people to do date nights, have a glass of wine, everything you can think of. And for a lot of people, it just wasn't working. They had too much noise in their head, too many stories of hurt and everything else that was blocking them. And then it just dawned on me one day, wonder if this works for someone else. Mm-hmm. And so I started researching it. And the more I researched, the more I found out it does. There is science behind it. It does. Half the people I would talk to say it didn't work for them sexually. It was a problem. The other half would go, oh, my God, like you. Mm-hmm. You give it to him and your boyfriend goes, oh, my God.
Erection.
No,
instant erection.
Yeah, or really good sex. Or women would say, I've had the best orgasm I've ever had. So that's what led me down the road of research. What's going on here? And is this a viable tool?
physiologically, as women, their bodies, for them to be able to have an orgasm, they have to let down their guard.
They just did a great study that talked about mindfulness and orgasm in women. And they said that the women who practice mindfulness and can go into that Zen in the now moment place had a much higher, stronger orgasm than women who weren't able to practice it.
I believe it.
Well, what do you think cannabis is doing? When used as a high, it puts you in a Zen-like, hyper-focused, creative space. You know, it's interesting that we see the nutty professor on campus who's running around, his hair's a mess and his shirt's untied, and he's hyper-focusing on a math problem or to solve something, and we admire that. We think it's silly, but we admire that. Cannabis
tenacity,
is doing
right?
This. Yeah, well, he's just so into something that he forgets if he ate lunch. That's what happens with cannabis. And that's why your mind wanders when you smoke a little bit and you notice that your train of thought is flying all over the place. You are focusing on one thing and then another distraction will come and turn you and you'll focus over there. So in the book, what I'm looking at is the set and setting is to get people to set it where there is no other distraction. Go in with an intention with your partner. We've got 2 hours. We're going to get a little buzz. Mm-hmm. We're going to talk and we're going to stay eye contact. We're going to learn to breathe together. It keeps you in connection. A lot of people will say, oh, cannabis, it's you get too stoned and you disconnect. If you get too stoned, you do disconnect.
You might disconnect, yeah.
You might disconnect. But if you're high, the connection can be incredible.
I love to hear that people are enjoying sex. In your realm of experience. You were telling me that studies suggest, and I can attest to it, that people my age are having a lot less sex. So I'd like to encourage those people to not be afraid, like Dr. Nick says, and you don't have to smoke cannabis or use it to connect, but if anything, be inspired to know your neighbor or go meet a new friend or spend less time on your machines. As much as we love your support, we'd rather have you thriving in your community.
Yeah, and play with, if I can say anything, walk away from this show, is cannabis could be a very powerful life-changing tool for you. So I know you love getting stoned, most of you. I know that it feels good. Back it off and play with it. Play with it. It's God's gift to us. So.
Definitely, and I've been microdosing a lot with a lot more intention since I met you, Dr. Nick. And I've got to say that I noticed that I do need less. I don't need as much as I consume. I enjoy it, so I do it.
Yes.
But I find that Zen, that Goldilocks zone, is more productive. It is a clearer space to be in. Like as a teacher, as a healer, I think being stoned is helpful. Because it kind of help you like defrag and work through your moments or your issues, but to be functioning and to feel good and feel like you're accomplishing daily tasks. I really enjoy your
Thank
insight
you.
On the microdosing.
Thank you. Experiment it. If you're in a legal state, it's wonderful. You can go into a dispensary. You can talk to the bud masters in there. You can buy small amounts and try them. Pay attention. If you're not in a legal state, get your voice out there and legalize it and educate people so it doesn't get abused.
All right. Well, we were going to have Justin King call us from the Fifth Column News, but it seems like we're having technical issues. So we've got about a few more minutes on our program. So we're just going to finish out with Dr. Nick here. We're going to invite you guys to call in if you want. Our number is 1-718-717-8296. Although you may have the same technical issue as Justin, but if you happen to get through, we'd love to answer your questions.
And you can also go to my website, Passionate High. I've got a survey I would love to fill for you to fill out and email me with your questions. I'm retired. I love what I do. Please ask me a question. I'll be more than happy to answer it.
How awesome. And again, that's passionatehigh.com, right, Dr. Nick?
Yeah.
Check it out, you guys. I really enjoyed our segment tonight. We talked about the history of cannabis, We talked about its use not only as medicine, but as a tool in the bedroom and connecting to our partners. We talked about the stigmas that plague both sexes. You know, there are many, and
yes.
It's not one-sided. It's very much equal. And I am compassionate towards men and women and and monogamous people and polyamorous people and trans people and lesbians.
Everyone.
And gay people of all colors and kinds. And regardless, I want everyone to enjoy sex, to be healthy while they enjoy sex, because
yes,
they go hand in hand. And I'm so happy to have a nice conversation with you. And to hear that you're inspiring people to have this connection.
Yeah, go out on the journey. Find your sexual self. Find your erotic mind. Find how you connect energetically and physically with other people. That's what we're here for.
Would you suggest that people that have blocks and are just totally not into even having that type of intimacy with not even themselves? You mentioned like mindfulness or meditation, and it really starts with breathing. You want to talk a little bit about that?
There are so many good books out there. We don't give our sexuality, our personal sexuality, enough time and energy. Look at your day, and spend some time. There's great websites. There's so many social events. All towns have social events. Go to a Tantra event. Go to an intimacy. They have cuddle parties that are wonderful if you haven't checked one of those out. There's a lot of stuff going on in your town. Just type it in on your internet. Give yourself permission to go. Everyone is scared the first time. Everyone's a little uncomfortable. But get out there. Love yourself. You're going to see that regular Joe, just like you or Jane, is at these events. And everybody is looking for ways to connect. And there's great guides. There's great people that will show you how to do that.
So here's to a new year of living in our highest truth and being connected to our highest self. And not only sexually, but mentally, physically, emotionally, spiritually, because it's all encompassing. And I like to empower people always on this program, Dr. Nick, that they're not just a body. They're not just a human doing, walking around. You're a human being, and you're so much more. And you are so much more important than a 40-hour work week.
Yes.
Or a piece of paper saying, I do this, or I learned this. That doesn't matter. What matters is your character and your experience. And ultimately, you're in charge of that. So that's this year's message. And I hope it was empowering and inspiring. Thank you so much for being here, Dr. Nick.
Thanks
You've
for
got
having
a
me on the show.
Final message for anybody before we end our wonderful program this evening?
Oh, final message. Connect with your senses. Connect with your body this year. It'll teach you so much about who you are.
That's beautiful. I can't imagine a more beautiful world than everybody walking around being their most beautiful selves. That literally is my dream. And we look forward to catching you guys on Monday. Hopefully, Sir Justin King will be able to call in. Listen in on Monday, guys. Love you. Bye. I'ma let them know through the stereo. Yo, here we go through the stereo.